Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Wednesday at 4, our guy, Brian Baldinger, joins us. Our Odyssey Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or local grocery store. Baldy, what up?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
What up, Baldy?
So before we get into Eagles specifics, from a big picture standpoint, what do you think of Nick Sirianni as a head football coach?
Well, he was, look, why in the world would any coach in any sport get into it with your home fans during a game? Not after you won a game and you're walking off the field and people are harassing you, but during a game, I've never seen anybody do that. Like, it just seems silly to me. Like, the concentration should be on your team, period. And making sure you guys are executing the way, you know, you're coached and practiced to do it. But getting into it with fans during a game just seems like it's a sideshow that is, I don't know how anybody would tolerate it.
Yeah, he seems like
it's a distraction, Baldy. I mean, that's what it becomes, a distraction.
Well, it is, Ike. But what coach, I mean, you've been around this game forever, right? What coach does that?
None.
Like, it just seems like, does that, if the idea is to, motivate your team or something like that. Well, there's ways to motivate your team, but that doing that with fans and the fans that honestly deserve to boo you on Sunday. It was nobody was happy with that performance. I think Lane Johnson said the offense is constipated right now. I think that's the word he used.
He did.
I might be wrong about that.
No, that was the word he used. Yep.
It's the word he used. So, I mean, his own team thinks like we're not executing. We're not very dynamic at this point.
Well, that's a good lead into the question because Lane had his way of describing it. I think we sort of watch it and it feels like they are almost offensively are almost stuck in mud and there's not very much rhythm to it. When you're looking at the Eagles offense, what sticks out to you as the reason that they are not as dynamic as we expected them to be?
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't know if there's a lot of bad football in this league right now, but I don't know if any team in this league has yet to score in the first quarter. Like, what in the world are you doing on Fridays and Saturdays except kind of reviewing your script to go out and execute? So, like, it starts off slow, punt, okay. That seems like that's the start every week. A lot of times it's not even a first down in the first quarter. So it'd be good if they started fast. And then, it helps that A.J. and Devontae are back in the lineup. They're difference makers. It hurts that you lose your star tight end. That hurts. But at the same time, it looks awfully stale. Like you watch all these other games in this league and you see creativity, you see design, you see things that jumpstart your offense. You don't really see much of that right now.
Now, what do you think what would you attribute that to? Is that Kellen Moore? Has he watered down the offense, dialed it back? And if so, why? Do you think that's them trying to fit Jalen into an area where he's comfortable running the offense? Like, why do you think it sort of looks like a similar offense that we've seen the last few years? Or do you think Coach Sirianni is involved? Yeah.
But it sounds like they take a great deal of input from Jalen and what he likes. Mm. So a lot of that has remained, whether it's RPOs, design quarterback runs. And let's face it, he doesn't look like the same runner from 2 years ago. Now, I don't know why that is, but I mean, it's just the eye test. He doesn't look as dynamic. He still gets some first downs. He gains some yards. But nothing like he did 2 years ago when he ran for 15 touchdowns and nobody seemed to be able to catch him. Like, they're flattening him to the sideline. But it seems like there's a lot of Jalen in this offense, which is, okay, you want your quarterback to feel comfortable. But you don't see a lot of creativity to it right now, whether it's the creativity in the screen game. I mean, you can watch. I'm doing Kansas City, San Francisco on Sunday. I know right now I'm going to see probably a different screen than Andy Reid has run in 25 years. He's going to tinker and come up with something new. And you know Kyle Shanahan's going to do the same. And so you're used to seeing that from other teams. Maybe they're just trying to figure out, now that they got the receivers back, trying to figure out what they're good at right now since they played a couple games without them. And they're still trying to build this thing right now.
Yeah, I think the big question for all of us is when we're thinking about this and in terms of them fitting it into Jalen. So they're last in the league in throwing the ball in the middle of the field. They're last in the league in snaps under center. And I think there's sort of this rubber meets the road moment where is Jalen not comfortable doing those things or is he not capable? And if it's the latter, then how do you have an offense that scores, you know, 30 points a game, regardless of the weapons? And I think we're all just trying to figure out, is it Kellen Moore not being creative enough, or is he limited by what Jalen is able to do? And that question being, is it able or is it comfortable? Which are the two things? And I think that's what we're all trying to resolve.
Yeah, I know. Look, it's a good question. It's the right question to ask. Because I don't know if any of us know the answer unless you're in those game plan meetings or quarterback meetings right now and you're putting this thing together on a Tuesday or a Monday night, whatever. So, but you hope that if you pay the quarterback to be a franchise quarterback, that he can read what's happening in the middle of the field and deliver and layer the ball the way the good quarterbacks have to layer the ball. I mean, that's where you want to attack. You want to attack the middle of the field. There's no sideline. There's none of that. Like, you've got room to run after the catch. All these things that are necessary to be a diverse offense. So, you know, I hope that his eyes are in the right place. The line has protected him exceedingly well. I mean, you didn't really hear Myles Garrett's name last week or Za'Darius Smith's name last week. They didn't throw it a lot, but they didn't run it well either. So, you know, they ran some plays, honestly, last week that I just scratched my head going, you're not allowed to run that play and not account for Myles Garrett. Like, you can't run counter Trey to the right and not anybody account for Myles Garrett. He'll make the play every time, and he did every time. And I just go, like, maybe they came in wrong, maybe it was called wrong, but I know this. Anybody that runs that play, the most important factor in the play is making sure that backside defensive end is accounted for. And they didn't do it, so... You know, I mean, Saquon takes a 2-yard loss. It seems kind of silly to me. Mm.
So Brian Baldinger with us, joins us every Wednesday at 4. So we have the Giants on Sunday who don't have a great record, but seem pretty scrappy, actually. You know, they've competed. Defensively, what are we looking at competing against Eagles offense versus the Giants defense?
Well, they played great the last 2 weeks. I mean, great football. They went up to Seattle and just smothered them. I mean, they got after Geno Smith. They sacked him 8 times. You know, Dexter Lawrence has 7 sacks. But last week, I thought Brian Burns played his best game he's played in years. Azeez Ojulari was almost unblockable. And this is Joe Burrow. They basically held a 35-point offense to 10 points until the final run in the last minute of the game. But, I mean, they played exceedingly well. Shane Bone's a new defensive coordinator. He's not like Wink Martindale. He doesn't blitz every play. But when he does, it's pretty effective.
Mm-hmm.
And the outside guys, now you're going to have Fred Johnson at left tackle. He's going to see a pretty dynamic Brian Burns. He's a good football player. And he was dominant last week. So, I mean, they're going to see good heat off the edge. They got a dominant interior player in Dexter Lawrence that Cam Jurgens hasn't seen yet this season. Anybody like him? So, I mean, they've got talent on that side of the ball. They played very well the last 2 weeks. You can't say it. They should have won that game last week. Unfortunately for the Giant fans, the quarterback was awful, and he couldn't make a single play or a read. He was just awful. And so I don't know what Daniel Jones you're going to get this week. Because the week before, he was pretty good against Seattle.
Yep.
The other thing they were able to do against Cincinnati is they were able to keep Ja'Marr Chase from killing them. Yep. And, you know, one thing that the Eagles were able to take advantage of against Cleveland is they were – you know, AJ Brown basically had man on him, and they're gonna put guys over AJ Brown. The Giants will. So if that's Jalen's comfort, you know, what is the security blanket? He's not. I don't think they're gonna be able to just throw the ball deep on the, you know, on the sides of the field to AJ Brown in the same way they were able to against the Browns.
Well, I mean, I like the matchup of AJ against Deontay Banks or against Adoree Jackson or Cardale Float. Like, I like the matchup. Mm-hmm. If they're one-on-one like that and they're they're blitzing, I'd throw it up there to him, let him go get it myself. But, you know, but they got to be, you know, I mean, Saquon's obviously, you know, a big story this week. I'm sure he wants to have a great game. He's coming off his worst game last week where they just really couldn't figure out a run that they were good. Now, Cleveland's a good front, but you're going to get, you know, presented some of the same issues this week. So, I mean, I would think that they'd want to get the running game going and get Saquon going. So I think that's, I mean, that would be the priority. And specifically, if I was attacking, you know, this Giants defense, I would get my outside zone stretch run going. I would attack Ojulari or Kayvon or Burns. I'd make them play the run and just stretch them. I mean, that's what Lane's best at. The guards are good enough to move. I think it probably helps Fred out if you run those type of plays. So I would think that would be a priority play for him this week.
I got a weird feeling with this game this week, Baldy. Saquon going back to face his old team. I know he wants to play well and wants to do well, and I'm sure the Eagles wouldn't mind him doing well. I'm not so sure how much they're going to go out of their way to try to feature him. But I'm looking at this thing from a Giants standpoint, yep. And as a Giants defense, they're going to be pretty fired up Sunday to make sure Saquon doesn't have a big day.
Oh, I'm sure. No, the defense is playing good, Ike.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you beat them or you run for a lot of yards just because you executed, they're not giving you anything.
Yeah.
They're good. That Shane Bowen's a good coach. Honestly, like, if Malik Nabers plays, it does change the game for the Giants. He's been out 2 weeks in a row with a concussion, but that's as good a receiver as I saw in the league the first 4 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Baldy. Well, one of these days.
And it's only a 3.5-point line.
Yeah, no, it's down to 3.
Oh, God, it's down to 3.
Down to 3.
It's going the other way.
Just, I mean, they get two starters back, and now you lose, you know, you lose Mailata and you lose Goddard.
Yep.
You lose a lot with those two players now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
All right, Baldy, we appreciate you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Baldy. There he is. Yeah. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
Mayo game
mayo,
day.
Get it?
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Hey, you're a big mayo guy.
I hate mayo, but I guess I shouldn't say that, but yeah.
Well, you know, it doesn't mean the listener can love mayo just because you don't.
We haven't done a whole lot of into the game. It's only Wednesday, and we got a couple more days, but man.
This is a scary game.
Yeah. Well, because I'm looking at, I'm thinking, if I'm the Giants and he's coming here, the Eagles may wind up beating us, but he ain't beating us. If I'm the Giants, that's the way I'm looking at it as a defense. As a defensive player, you're saying there's no way I'm letting Saquon come in here and run up and down the field.
Well, and if they commit to that defensively, which is, by the way, what Cleveland did, mm-hmm. I mean, we just have to do a better job in the air of moving the ball.
Yes.
Because we can say commit to run all we want. But if they're stacking the box, it just doesn't matter. You know, it's not going
to matter. The Eagles were still forced to make plays through the air.
Yep. And the thing I was asking Baldy about as far as A.J. Brown is, like, they're going to put more than one safety up there.
Yes.
So there's going to be somebody over the top of A.J. Brown all the time. And there wasn't that against the Browns. Mm-hmm. So it's just they're going to have to be better. They are a far more talented team than New York Giants. And it says a lot about what, you know, we were shocked at the 9.5-point line against the Browns. But
I may be more shocked at this one.
Well, but,
and it's going the other way. It could be 2.5 by Sunday.
Well, this line sort of shows you that maybe Vegas watched the Eagles finally.
They actually watched that game.
Yeah. And the other thing that I'm worried about is the defensively, if Malik Nabers gets cleared, whatever the over is on Malik Nabers' yards, take it. Take it. They have one target, and he's going to have 150 yards against us.
I will say, though, I am excited because I think he is going to play Sunday.
Yeah.
Because we're going to see this kid twice a year for the next decade almost.
He is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to get him going up against Q,
it'd be fun.
Yeah, it was two rookies, first rounders.
It's
a good test for Quinyon Mitchell.
Well, per Elliott Shore Parks, Darius Slay.
He may be back this week.
Practiced today.
Oh, well,
he
that's
was
good,
on the
dude.
Practice.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. Well,
he might watch tape
a banged up Slay on Malik Nabers.
He might watch tape of Malik Nabers, and that knee might need another week. I think 215-592-9494. VP Kimberly, you're on WIP. What's up, VP?
Hey,
Hey, guys.
Hold on. This is VP that's on a two-game winning streak.
She is. She beat me.
I just beat Spike, and I have Jack this weekend, but I'm not getting carried away. I got a big hole to dig out of, but I'm coming, so we'll see. I need to start out by saying happy birthday to the president that made me the VP.
There he
is. Reese. Wow. Thank you very much. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And then this Knicks stuff. I mean, the guys that were calling yesterday saying, oh, we needed to run more last week. We ran 59% last week. How much more do you want to run? But
yep.
The Knicks stuff today is making me a little bit more crazy because, you know, Nick has a 66% win percentage in his lifetime. And this season is about that. We're just under that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 11 games a season, every season. He's made the playoffs every year that he has been our coach. He has the third highest win percentage of all active coaches right now. The only people ahead of him are Jim Harbaugh and Matt LaFleur. Like, he is a good coach. He's a bozo sometimes and doesn't act great, but I think we had a rough start again. I'm a broken record over here, but we had a rough start. It's starting to get a little better, at least on offense. The defense is still struggling, but the offense is starting to get better. And yet everybody,
I would say, hasn't the
out.
Defense kind of outperformed the offense so far this year?
It didn't feel like it this past weekend.
Well, they didn't allow a touchdown.
They've had two excellent defensive games, and I would say one excellent offensive
game. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, we've also had, I would say, the offense has never been really bad. They've gone from mediocre to good, and the defense has been bad.
Yeah, I'm with
anyway,
you. Let's not quibble with the VP.
Yeah, I guess my point on Nick's winning percentage is they could lose the next three in a row, and he would still have a great winning percentage, and none of us would agree
right.
that things were going well. So I think while all of that matters, I think we have to live in the most recent, you know, I think the way that the second half of last year went and then the start of this year, I appreciate your being positive on Nick and being open to him, you know, because you're in and you never went out. But I think the winning part of it and looking good is eventually going to have to be more than the entire, you know,
body of work.
His entire body of work, because
yeah.
it's not a long enough body of work to just say that he has this great winning percentage. You know,
I agree. If we lose the next three games, it's all bets are off.
Okay, all right.
But you know, again, 66% is 11 games a year. So we won 11 last year, and how we did it was terrible. But we won 11 last year. We won 14 the year before that. We are currently on track to win 11. I just think it is. He makes some dumb choices in how he behaves, but I think for people to lose faith in him as a coach over some of those things, and that's generally what appears to happen often. He is a goofball in some other way, and then everyone thinks he can't coach. I don't know what will happen with the new, you know, OC and DC this year. I don't know what will happen, but I'm not ready to give up.
All right. Next question today is based on Bryce Harper's birthday, not Ike's, because
mine.
We weren't supposed to be doing Ike birthday stuff all day long. It is for a pair of tickets to go see the Flyers home opener. You can buy tickets at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. The question is, who's a guy? Like, who's your go-to guy? So what do you got?
I can't go to the game, but George Clooney in Ocean's, especially in Ocean's 11, is the coolest guy ever.
George Clooney is sort of, it was Harrison Ford for a while, I think, and George Clooney has sort of assumed the Harrison Ford title of, you know, cool, sexy, older guy or whatever, right? It's Clooney. He's the new guy.
Yeah.
He's
Silver
so
Fox.
Smooth.
Yep.
In the Ocean's movies, he is so smooth. So,
yeah.
And you normally don't go from TV to the big screen,
right,
and it works.
Grey's Anatomy.
I mean,
that's you know, all-time show. All right, Kimberly.
All right, VP.
See you.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
The Sirianni win percentage stuff is starting to sound a little bit like the people that defended Chip Kelly. Like, Chip Kelly had a good winning percentage as Eagles head coach. Now he didn't go 6-9, but it just, like, the winning percentage is fine. It can't be the end-all, be-all for me.
Well, it's not ultimately, you're saying for you, which I understand, you need more. But for a lot of people, winning is all that matters, or matters the most, I should say. Obviously, the way the coach behaves or carries himself or represents the organization certainly matters to most fans. But for most fans, if you're winning, they are okay with you.
Yeah, I think the winning percentage thing provides context that, hey, it's not his first year. He's had success. Mm-hmm. It's good to know that. But I think there's been a long enough period between a good portion of last year and the beginning of this year, just seeing the team not look good enough,
yeah,
given the talent that's on the field.
Yeah, and he needs to do better. I think where people go with the winning percentage stuff is when, and not with you, but with others, some, when they go over the top with the criticism, he's an idiot, he shouldn't be a coach, you know, all those things, then what is someone supposed to go to defend him?
Yes, I agree.
I mean, they're
going
to say, they're going to look at his track record and say, because here's the other thing, there are a lot of smart guys that call plays that don't win as much as Nick Sirianni.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, there are a lot of those guys in the NFL, too.
Absolutely. So, speaking of smart guys... Mm-hmm. We had to take the week off last week of Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings because we had to go lose to the friggin' Mets. And
we were on a bye week.
Yeah, but we still had Insider of the Year.
Yeah, we did. Okay,
yeah, can't slow down. This hype train.
There's always Insider.
They're always listening.
We did it in July. You know, so
and we do actually call it Eagles Insider of the Year.
Yes,
not just Insider.
Correct.
Of the Year.
So. Okay. And if I had to do it all over again rather than watch Game 4, I would have just done Eagles Insider of the Year last week. But the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings return next. Do we have a new number one? Do we have a new person in the top five? Mm. Has somebody dropped out of the top five for maybe being a little too critical of WIP personalities? We will find out next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with no one, Spike and Fritz.
Who?
The guy, Ike, has one birthday.
Things can take off the segment?
Yeah. It's just hang out in the hallways? What the hell is going on with that guy? We're going to do Eagles Insider of the Year without him bitching about...
Well, that's why we're going to do it quick. Go.
Yeah. Number five, Ike. There we go. Just do the Twitter question before we get to Eagles Insider of the Year. Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. There we go. Looking to get engaged? Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget. Online at marks-jewelers.com. The Twitter question of the day is, can Nick Sirianni win you back over? No, I'm out. Starts off at 53%, and as the show has gone on, has gone up to 57%. So
that was going the wrong way.
Going the wrong way. 43% say he can. So before we get back to the, Sirianni, discussion. Every Wednesday at 4:30, we update you on the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. Ah, man.
Here we go. This is really...
Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings.
There we go. Got a little water. Doing much better.
We only had a 6-minute break.
Yeah. Wow. I had to be, I don't know.
Oh, whoa,
I
no whoa, you talked to Rod, I know.
Yeah, I have no excuse. Okay, Eagles Insider of the Year.
You're grinding.
All right, I'm grinding.
Through it, yeah.
Eagles Insider of the Year is an award we will give out at the end of the Eagles football season to the Eagles insider who gets us the best, most consistent, accurate inside information. As usual... You get credit for correct reports, you are dinged for incorrect reports, you are dinged for inactivity, and you are also dinged if you attack members of the WIP air staff.
Dope.
Or our listeners.
He's a loser.
There we go. Mm-hmm. So last year's power rankings.
Last week.
Yep. Last year. I'm sorry.
When the Phillies were still in the offseason.
Yes. Look, I'm learning.
No, we just messed up.
Yeah, I'm not excellent yet. We're 2 weeks ago because we didn't have them last week. But the last Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings had Howard Eskin at number 5. Joe Santaliquido, who is sort of the grim reaper of the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings, because when Joe comes out with a story, you know things aren't going well.
Sorcerer saying he's lurking.
Yes. Reports that he's lurking. Number 3 last week was Elliot Shore Parks. Number 2 was Ike Reese. Mm. And number 1 was the newspaper reporter.
Mm.
We have some changes.
Okay.
This week. We have some changes within the rankings. Somebody has fallen out of the rankings. We have a new person in the rankings.
Okay.
Number 5, Chase Daniel.
Huh?
Well,
yep.
How did Chase Daniel get on?
Because in 2016,
yes,
he knew how this front office operated.
Right. Yes.
Got you.
Okay. That the players, the organization head coach, reacted to outside noise more than he had ever seen. And he is a journeyman, so he's been on 6, I believe, NFL teams.
6 teams?
I think 6, right? Yeah. I think it's 6 teams.
Yeah, 6.
So that is number 5. Speaking of number 5, number 4, Donovan McNabb.
That's right.
What?
Donovan here.
He personally talked to Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts supports Nick Sirianni.
Hmm.
He said,
that's a pretty big report.
It's a pretty big report. He was on with us on Monday.
Did we run that? Did we tweet it? Did we tweet that out?
It was shocking that was someone tweeted from the station was listening after 2:30.
Yes. Not something we normally see. So Donovan McNabb. Chase, so two Eagles, former Eagles quarterbacks are the first two spots of Eagles Insider of the Year.
Who was the better Eagles quarterback?
I did not see. Shut up.
Donovan McNabb or Chase Daniel?
I was wondering if people would fall in that Twitter poll.
Yeah.
I didn't see McNabb being in the top 5.
Look,
the committee has a wandering eye. Yeah, committee sees.
Oh, yeah. This means I could be out of here.
On your birthday?
I just thought about that. We got two new ones in here.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out who's out. Number 3 in the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings, Ike Reese.
Oh, now I'm awake!
He moved down from 2 to 3, but
understandable.
Yep, but there hasn't been a lot of activity from Ike.
He's still riding off of Kai Becton.
Yes, July.
That's pretty big, though.
Yeah,
this is huge.
Yeah. Number 2, moving up one slot, the person who asked the first question at almost every important Eagles press conference. Elliot Shore Parks.
Elio! Elios?
And not only is Elliot asking the first question, he is oftentimes asking the question everybody wants to know the answer to. So we give Elliot credit. Has he come up with insider stories? No, but being there and asking the difficult questions is part of Eagles Insider of the Year.
I give him credit for that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we
down there in the trenches.
Yes.
And he's asking the tough questions that he knows is being discussed here on the radio station.
And look, are we hard on Elliot when it's necessary? Absolutely.
Of course we are.
It's only because we want the best out of Elliot. And I think we're starting to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the beat writer you need.
Number 1, even though he doesn't write anything. Number 1 in the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings for like the 8th straight week, except for the one time when we sarcastically gave it to Elliot, is the newspaper reporter, who once again came up with an inside report that two key figures within the Eagles organization were embarrassed about Nick Sirianni's behavior on Sunday. The newspaper reporter stays at number 1 out of the power rankings, Joe Santaliquido, and the worm has failed in that Howard Eskin is out of the power rankings. He has spent the first 2.5 days of the week calling WIP listeners and hosts dumb for criticizing Nick Sirianni and for not just being happy with the win. I'm sorry, the worm is working overtime. Nick Sirianni's winning percentage is so high. It's the players. Just in his head. Yeah. And you can't, the WIP, the hosts are idiots.
Yeah.
You know? So he falls out of the top 5.
Yeah.
Got one question.
5's ahead of him, by the way.
Yes. 5's at 4.
Oh, that's right. 5's ahead of him.
Yep.
Yeah. He won't like that.
Nope.
With what do we call the number 1 guy?
The newspaper reporter.
The newspaper reporter.
Yeah.
I mean, Did I not say that people weren't happy? Did I not say that? Did I not say, now, he didn't name anybody? Did I not say Jeffrey Lurie, he can't be happy with
it? Well, it's a can't be happy with it.
That's speculation. It's like me saying it.
Oh, God.
No.
No?
No.
That's like me saying yesterday, saying, I'm sure Middleton doesn't agree with how Dombrowski and Topper talked.
And if it came out?
But that's not insider. I would assume.
But when you or I, like when you say something like that, I think you got to get automatic insider credit because
this guy.
Man, we're gonna have to take this all under consideration.
Yeah, we'll take it under consideration. It feels like I think you're being selfish. I think you're being selfish. I've
got the question what these guys are doing, man.
You got to say.
I got five in here because he said he talked to Jalen personally.
Well, that's a pretty big scoop.
Yep.
More than these other laps.
Yeah. You saying the owner probably doesn't like this is different than the newspaper reporter going out there.
I can't say the owner told me he doesn't like it because he didn't tell me that.
Well, right. So there you go. But it might have told the newspaper reporter. Somebody certainly told the newspaper reporter.
By the way, he didn't say it was the owner.
He did not.
He did not say it.
He said two people. Two figures within the organization. And I bet one was probably not Lurie. That would be my... Now, I don't know, and I don't know who he's talking about. But
so if it does come out later... That it was Jeffrey Lurie who wasn't happy.
No.
I don't get points added for that?
No.
I tell you, boy, you two are tough, man.
I'm going to hang on your every word even more. Because I don't know what to report.
Well, you should be hanging on every word that I say.
I usually do. But I don't know what to report. I don't know if this is what I think.
Yeah.
It's a blurred line.
I'm not a reporter.
I know you're not a reporter, but sometimes you can tell sometimes.
But it's informed speculation.
Listen, no. Saquon, great call by you and no one else.
Yeah.
All right, you two aren't budging. Okay.
Well, look, it's the whole committee.
I also assume Lurie wasn't happy with what Sirianni did on Sunday.
Maybe the afternoon show should be number one. What if we give ourselves the award at the end?
Nah, well, listen, we're not me guys.
Well, let me just say this.
Yeah.
Now.
Here we go.
I can't put anything on, any name specifically.
Oh, there just we go. Saying. We finally got you moving.
Just saying.
Okay.
Could be a busy trade deadline.
Yes.
Unwound your butt cheeks.
I don't know.
That doesn't do anything.
Well.
And then when they do nothing, he's going to say, I said could be. I should get credit for that.
Well, no, that's just in case y'all try to dock me points in case there's nothing. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you put that out there.
Yeah, we'll take it under advice.
When's the trade deadline?
I have no idea.
November 6th, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
Isn't that Election Day?
It is Election Day, I believe.
It's that week. I know for sure it's that week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's a Tuesday.
Worked up in there.
Right?
We got Election Day and the trade deadline on the same day.
How are we going to do all of that in the same show?
We're going to have to ask people. Never mind.
215-592-9494. Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. Who are you voting for? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Gary, you're on WIP.
Happy birthday.
Appreciate that, G.
Spike, when are we getting the BB King music for you, King?
The BB King.
That's an official nickname. You're the King now.
Oh, well, Howard's song is a BB King Eric Clapton song.
Oh, right. Well, I'm not the King.
Yeah,
it's the King's official nickname rules. You were given the nickname by somebody else.
Yes, but I am not the King.
I don't know. That call yesterday was priceless.
The guy yelling at me, you mean?
I don't even know what. It was like a Nick Sirianni press conference. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't even know that.
Yeah,
why are we arguing here?
And by the way, it was a lot of pent-up rage in that he had been waiting. Yeah, he had been waiting to give me a piece of his mind, and he did. So,
oh my God! Hold on a second. I got the kids up here with me.
Wait a minute. What? Okay. All right.
He had me for a second there. You had me, Gary. I was like, what?
Yeah. I agree with Chris Ball, man. It can't be about you. Finally, it was kind of like a game when we're coming back and we're doing good things, and then he makes it about everything but the good stuff that we needed to talk about.
Yeah, where are you on him? I guess, like, where is your temperature on him? Are you in a place where, hey, if this settles down and the Eagles are playing some good football, you're a Nick guy, or do you not think he's ever going to be somebody who you're confident in as a head coach?
I just think he's so all over the place. I can't be confident in him as a head coach. I was in the what does he do camp. I just don't get it. And I do agree with Jack, though. Like, when something goes bad, it's his fault. And when something's good, it's everybody else. The whole thing is just so convoluted. I just can't take it anymore. I just want him to win games.
Yeah, I hope for his sake it is recoverable. It feels like we are on the precipice of they better start playing better. Or I feel like the season could unravel a little bit, and mostly because he seems like he is close to unraveling. I wish that wouldn't happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
And not that he should ever bark back at the fans, but like if they won by 40 or dropped a 50 burger on them, then yeah, go, you know, show off a little bit, whatever. But like when you barely won, I don't know if that was the time and place.
It was so reminiscent.
Yeah, man, you really showed us
the Colts game.
Yeah. Yeah, he beat the Colts by one point. That was Jeff Saturday's first game, I believe.
Jeff Saturday brought that up too the other day on
Get
Up. He's like, "Yeah, this is the same coach was yelling at Colts fans after they beat us by 1 point."
Yeah, and that was the first time Jeff Saturday had ever coached a football team or something, right? Yeah, because never coached before.
The Colts fans got Frank Reich fired.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, what are we doing?
Yeah. Hey, Gary, so next question today for a pair of tickets to the Flyers home opener against Vancouver is in honor of Bryce's birthday, is who's a guy? Who's like your go-to man's man?
The man's man, when I was growing up, he chose us, and he was classy, cool, on and off the court, Dr. J.
That is a great one.
Yeah, smooth as hell.
Big answer.
Yeah. That's a big answer right there, Gary.
The coach and the... He was a boss, man.
He was.
And he's still the man.
Yes.
Well, I could see Dr. J something like at a golf tournament or what have you. I know he plays in Jaws' golf tournament every year, and I've seen him. I'm still like, Dr. J, man. It's Dr. J right there.
Well, how about this? When the Sixers went to go recruit Paul George on free agency night,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The Hammer was like, hey, Dr. J showed up. You know, and it was big for Paul George.
Yeah.
It was big for Paul George's dad. He definitely has that air about him. Dr. J does.
Yeah. Well, no, when he said the Hammer showed up, I thought the camera was there waiting
recruiting
Paul George. Yeah.
What did you mean by that when you said the Hammer showed up?
No, when
the Hammer is real, for
when
real.
Somebody says they drop the Hammer, it's like the final
win.
That was the get Paul George. No, it was not. Not talking about anything.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I didn't know.
I've never been.
You said the final hammer. What does that mean?
That's right. I just explained.
It's all right. It's all right. Never heard anyone use it in that context.
Well, you're not a wordsman.
That's obvious.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Stephen Westchester, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How we doing? Ike, happy birthday.
Appreciate that, Steve.
I just wanted to throw out a quick congratulations. Just got engaged over the weekend. Like, I'll never forget that tip drill intercept.
I'm going to put Steve on hold because his phone is driving me crazy.
And he's about to give me another compliment.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to do this here, even though it might be long. The return of Black Gritty to the WIP afternoon show.
BG?
Welcome back.
Even though he's annoyed me, I just wanted to tell Bryce, thank you for choosing me and happy birthday. And I happy birthday to you, senior citizen. Old tablet with the etiquette probably still working. I know your hips are acting funny, but your shoe game's still tight.
Oh, appreciate
it. One of the best voices in the city. I go ahead, sing Ike Sings down. Ike, you're safe now. You're now free from the singikesing.com, but you give us happy feet, happy hands, brother. Libra brother, happy birthday to you. I'll talk to you.
Hold on, but the station brought the video back out today.
They sure did.
Oh, you dancing?
Yes, and singing.
Yeah.
And the girls that were out at, you know, the lunch table, they couldn't wait to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? They were watching Ike
Yeah, well, Ike listen, dancing. They had a lot of the talk about at the lunch table today. I mean, they're out there for an hour and a half. It was basically all Did you see what he texted her over the weekend?
By the way, yes, he's not talking about anything that has to do with me right
no,
now.
No, no, we're talking about some of the people that work here.
The younger.
Why you let them have lunch? Oh, they got to sit there in front of a computer all the time. Look, here's...
No, I know, but we're hearing all the gossip. You know,
it's he's he's stupid, man. Because now I got to explain what the hell he's talking about.
It's usually how this works.
Yeah. They were there chatting.
Yeah.
There's different things they're going over here, past weekend, yep. And everything else. So it was loud enough for
Jack to sort of check in.
Everyone to check in.
Everybody could hear yes. Now, it was only Jack and I out there with them.
Right.
But yes, it was.
And that just means they're comfortable around
here. Yes.
Sure.
You know, sometimes I do my little walk around the office, and I see them sitting quietly at their computers, and then I think about our job, where we just are 4 hours
loud
of,
and yeah, talking,
we're,
and
we're just basically we have a 4 hour lunch in the middle of the day, and it's our job, you know, and
they're actually back there doing real work,
work.
I know.
Wow, come on, I mean, you know,
yeah, it's just it was. Interesting to listen to.
Yes.
And it made me feel bad for the guy. I'm just, you know.
Oh, no.
Well, they're all like, just a whole group of them just saying, here's what he texted her. You know?
Oh.
I was like, oh, man, this guy's getting cooked.
Well, did you
listen? Can you believe he said that to her?
Did you hear what the guy said?
I mean, it did sound a little dorky, yeah.
Okay.
But he's just saying how much he likes her.
Maybe he deserved it, you know? All right.
I wonder if they're actually listening to the show back then.
I hope so.
There's no way.
There's a 0% chance.
No way they're listening to it. They always have the earbuds in, and I can guarantee you they're not
listening to talk radio.
No. Come on. And if they are, it's going to be an awkward walk for me back there. It's the tall guy that wears the flannel that was listening to your conversation, not me. Not the harmless guy. With the tattoos. It was the tall guy with the flannel. So coming up
next. Is
that
me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's you.
You.
They know who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next is everyone's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show, the Top 5 at 5. Jack, what can we expect in the Top 5 at 5 today?
Ike Reese's birthday.
Oh, we've mostly taken it easy on you today for the birthday.
Yeah, I know it's
coming. It's not mean. It's not mean.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Why would it be mean?
Yeah, because it's you.
That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.